At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We are coming to you directly after the Illini dropped a surprisingly convincing loss, 74-59 to Penn State, in a game that they really were not in for most of the game. And then when they did finally make it close, a barrage of 3 points took them out of it relatively quickly. And what looked to be maybe a possible rally was extinguished, and it kind of wound down to a semi-blowout. Brad, you were there. You know, what are your initial thoughts coming off of this game?
Well, Illinois was bad. They played poorly. Penn State made shots. They played well. They executed their game plan well. Penn State did, and Illinois didn't. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't give up. They didn't follow their scouting reports. They didn't follow their game plan. And, you know, Brad Underwood really went after leadership on this team at the end. And the problem is, when essentially you have five of your, five of your nine guys have never played college basketball for this year. Sometimes things are going to south and you're not going to have that guy. And to be honest, they have no guys who really, you know, as well, we may talk about later a little bit, but they have no guys who are have been the guy before this year. And they haven't, you know, then their guy who's probably their strongest personality from a leadership standpoint is sitting over there in a walking boot. So, you know, you're going to have days like this. I think we said this is what this team is. This team can beat anybody and lose to anybody virtually. So this is hopefully they learn and grow from it. I mean, you know, it was a bad day, and sometimes that happens.
Ed, what were your thoughts?
Well, I don't, you know, Brad mentioned that, you know, that we're going to dive into the whole leadership role to begin with, but for me, it was just a lack of effort. This was primed. I mean, you and I talked, you know, early this morning before I arrived to the State Farm Center. I don't even call it a trap game. I just think there's some teams you just don't play well against. And Illinois traditionally does not play well against Maryland, and they do not play well against Penn State. Go back and look at the history. There was a stretch in the 2000s where I think Penn State won 6, 8, 9 games against Illinois. They did it. And I knew when I watched them play Michigan State, Michigan State was darn lucky to win. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. But Brad Underwood said it on the postgame press conference. Illinois is the second youngest team in the country, and Penn State is the oldest. You saw a bunch of guys out there today from Penn State who were hungry. They were aggressive. Illinois just looked timid to me, and they didn't play hard. And I'm not going to call single guys out, but I will say this. If they had a roster of Sincere Harris's, that makes any sense, I think they would probably lose 3 games in the Big Ten. That's the one kid that is going to give you 110% every time. Today they look flat. They look like, yeah, we just beat Texas, and you know what? It's Penn State. And I'm saying this because Brad Underwood did, and it's posted on our YouTube page. Bottom line is, one of the guys said in the locker room, I can't believe we just lost to Penn State. This is the Big Ten. This is 2020. not the 70s and 80s anymore. If you don't bring it every night, you're going to get beat, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it was a tough one like that. Brad, what did you think the tipping point of the game was in the second half? You know, the Illini got it in. They came in really close. They you know, closed it. You know, they had a nice run there. And then Penn State comes out and hits three threes in like 64 seconds and takes that lead, you know, back out to 15 points or something like that. But within those micro moments there, what did you think watching the game? What was the key differentiator? What was the moment that you were like, oh, boy?
So it's 52-47. Penn State, you know, I guess it was 50. If you go back, it was 52-46.
Yeah.
LA had the ball, and they took a pair of quick threes. And, you know, Sky Clark had made some threes, but he took – there was one of them. The first one didn't really bother me that much.
Yep, I know which one you're talking about.
The second one I thought was really, really a bad shot in that situation. He needed to run some offense, get a better look. And they didn't. And, you know, I guess they say, well, if he makes it, who knows? Well, true, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And then Penn State comes down, and they play great defense. And I really thought that with 1.8 on the clock, and they got the sideline out of bounds after, and they were really energetic. They were playing some good defense that started this run to cut this lead down to five. And they give up the three. And, you know, on the move, tough catch and shoot, you know, coming, but he likes shooting, running to his right, so it made sense for Lundy. But anyway, so he drains the three. I thought the air went out of them when he hit that three, and it went from five to eight. It was only 8 points, but the air went out for that group, and then they give up back-to-back threes the next two possessions, and they're down 14. And I thought that was the moment where – you needed somebody to a veteran guy, but it's you know, we talk about this. The only veteran guy on the floor, he has at that point there were four freshmen and Coleman Hawkins on the floor.
Yep.
So they didn't have a guy. So you know, you talk about, well, need somebody to do this, and you know, freshmen are going to make bad decisions. We saw that today from Sky Clark, from Jaden Epps, from you know, even you know, Sincere on offense. I thought you know, Dane Danger on offense. Freshmen, young guys make bad decisions at times. Not all the time, but sometimes they will because they haven't got the experience. On the other side, you see Jalen Pickett, who's like 38 years old, playing old man basketball. And then that's the difference in this game, I think. And, you know, you can't overcome that when you don't shoot it well and you don't defend well.
Yeah. Ked?
I agree with what Brad said. I also thought one of the key baskets, you know, after trying to close the gap coming out of timeout, I mean, excuse me, out of halftime, right away you give up another three. I thought the momentum changed, even though they made a run. And, you know, the shots by Sky, they were huge because they never let's face it, they never recovered after that. And it's not just Kendrick and Brad thinking that they're tough shots. I looked at the bench. We were sitting right there. The facial expression from every coach, you know, Underwood looked at his bench and you're questioning it. And I understand it. It wasn't really hero ball. But at some point now, their back's against the wall. I mean, let's look at it. They're 0-2 in the Big Ten. Everybody had a home game. Everybody had a away game. And it's now they're going to have to build some character. Underwood didn't hide any punches in the press conference. He said that he hopes they're miserable during the whole week because – they knew. He circled this on the calendar. They practiced like it last week, the last 2 days. And now they have to do some soul searching. They really and truly do because this team is too good to play 50-50 basketball. You know, Brad mentioned, you're going to win this game. They're going to beat some people, lose some people. This is a game they should have won. But I'm not going to discredit Penn State. They played really, really well today. They did what they had to do. And how many of us, all the media guys have always complained about turnovers and how they win and lose games. Penn State had two turnovers, I think, at the half or something, and finished the game with 10. That's why you win games. Little things like that is why you win games.
Yeah, and I'll give you – I'll also say that to give Penn State some credit when Illinois wasn't, when they were, you know, going out and playing good defense. Maybe, and certainly there were very few examples of great defense today, but when they played good defense, Penn State hit the hard to hit shot too. You know, I'll give them credit. You know, a couple times, you know, they showed on the replay, you know, where a couple guys, you know, went after the 3-point shooter. And, you know, I think it was the one where Funk was shooting from the right side. And I think it was both Rodgers and Hawkins went after him, maybe Rodgers and Clark. But either way, two players put pressure on him. It's not how you would have drawn it up, but he somehow hit the shot over both of them. And you're like, okay, you know, when they needed it, they were there. As we look at this, what does Illinois need to do? Because, boy, when they have teams control the pace on them, Brad, and they don't get out for fast break points, this is a different team. Is there anything that they can do to more effectively try to increase the pace a little bit and use some of their athletic skills to get a few baskets here and there easy?
Well, here's the thing. You can't just mention it. If teams don't turn the ball over, it's very difficult to run.
Yep.
And teams make shots and don't turn the ball over, it's almost impossible to run. So you take away the two things. I do think they one thing they can do, I think they got to run some more secondary actions in transition. I would like to see them do that. Where, you know, even after a made basket, you know, if you recall North Carolina, you know, under Roy Williams used to run a ton of secondary actions. He did it at Kansas before that, where they're running these actions in transition, even if it's not a full fast break, you get them on their heels a little bit, you get some downhill actions, and maybe some quick shots to speed them up, but they got to take good shots too. You know, but the other thing is, they tried to speed them up with the pressure, and they didn't turn it over to the press very often. When they did turn it over, that's when Illinois made their run, and they got their fast break point. So, it's difficult. People say we need to play fast. Well, it sounds good. I mean, then you just then they yell when you turn it over or throw it out of bounds or take a bad shot. Well, if you're playing fast and it's not transition, that's what's going to happen. So I think the biggest thing for me offensively is getting ball movement and ball reversal. The ball sticks way too much on this team right now.
Yeah. They literally went. They literally, I mean, there was the second half, there was only a handful of times I thought that the ball moved well, and they usually ended up with good shots, which was something on that. Ked, any thoughts on yours end?
Well, to answer your question, I mean, I'm not trying to be a homer here. This is why I love doing podcasts with Brad, because we've both coached before, and you asked a question about fast break. The first thing when, you know, you asked them first, first thing came to my mind was secondary break. You got to find ways to do that. I mean, like, and I'm not – this is apples and oranges, but it's not. I went to a couple of Shauna Green's practices at Illinois, and I'm going to tell you, I love her secondary break. There are plays that you can use to get off that. But what's bad about it from Illinois' standpoint, if you're going to get a shot off of it, that's great, but then you got to have guys make free throws. When I ran a secondary breaks, I got my guy post touches, but – What's bad about Illinois is you got Dane Danger, who has no confidence when he walks to the free throw line. I don't know if he was 2-for-5, 2-for-7 today. So that's the flip side of it that you're going to get. But you need to have guys, when I think the bleeding, because everybody's going to have drops. People don't understand that. Every team has drops. Well, everybody focuses on Illinois. They don't think other teams do it. In the Texas game, I mean, I think they had a 7-minute scoring drought. It's going to happen. But when good teams, to me, you find ways to stop the bleeding, whether it's a free throw or whether it's a back cut. You got to stop the bleeding. And Illinois has the players to do it. Anybody who don't think they have the athletes, they're kidding themselves. I'm not going to overreact. Does the loss stink? It stinks to high heaven. It's a bad loss because it's a home loss. Illinois is better than Penn State, in my opinion. But today, they weren't. And they have to go find out right now who's going to lead this team, who's going to be the guy that's going to be that aisle, or that alpha dog. I don't even think it was Kofi last year, but they really need to find the guy who can get them a bucket when they need it.
Yeah, and that was the next question I was going to ask. You know, people forget Io, and while Kofi had to be fed the ball, but both Io and Kofi were good at stopping, you know, a team from getting, you know, 8 or 10 in a row, because one of those guys, you know, when they were playing together, you know, you could get one of them open, and obviously Kofi didn't have the ball, but he had a little bit of issues. But when I look at it this year, you know, my thought process is it's got to be, my opinion only, it's got to be Terrence Shannon Jr. or it's got to be Coleman Hawkins. And in a game like today, they combined for 10 points, way off their averages, and literally only took 15 shots together when you add them up. Brad, what does a coach do to try to get their guys, one, get them some open shots, and two, convince somebody that if you want to be the man, you got to put the ball up?
Well, I think right now, when how do you handle when things aren't going well? Like, Coleman Hawkins was, you know, he hit the backboard before the rim twice today. Terrence Shannon shot an airball. So, but you still have to shoot the ball when they don't guard you. And it was not at the end of the game. I think it was most telling. When Underwood took Shannon out at the end of the game, he refused to shoot a wide-open three. And he drove into the paint instead and turned it over.
Right.
And it's one of those things where that's just a mindset. He would have shot that three, you know, a week, 10 days ago. He did shoot that three. He shot 15 threes against Syracuse.
Yeah.
So, then the other thing on his drives, the Texas game, I think, really messed up his psyche on driving to the basket because of all the charge calls. And, you know, maybe we can say maybe it was Maryland we got in the head, but, I mean, I thought he was so worried. And that's not really – his game is to attack the rim and get to the basket and get to the foul line. But now he's attacking the rim. He's afraid of charge calls, I think. And so he's fading away, shooting runners and things like that. Well, that's not him. And so it's going back to finding what you do. You know, what I can't figure out, though, you got a bunch of 6'3 guys. Illinois is worried about, you know, think about how Penn State played offensively. Penn State was able to guard Coleman Hawkins in the post without helping with a 6'3 or 6'4 guy.
Yep.
On the same end, Illinois couldn't guard a 6'4 guard in the post. So that's really the difference. Now, that maybe that means we need to post Terrence Shannon more. I thought Matthew Meyer got pushed off a lot on his drives. I thought he got bumped and he wasn't ready for the physicality. You know, I thought that. So they don't have a guy right now. They got to find a guy. Illinois relied on Jaden Epps to make big shots at the end. And I just, you know, he's a freshman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough. They're going to figure it out. You're right. It needs to be Terrence Shannon, because against UCLA it was. And that's what needs to happen. And if Illinois wants to be successful, they got to have a guy who can stem those tides and make those plays at the end of the game.
Ked?
Well, the way I look at it, to me, it's about being confident. You know, yes, it's, you're going to miss shots. And I don't want to see guys just chuck up shots and be chucking up shots. But when you're wide open, if you don't have the confidence, and I'm not going to call a player out for this, but you all know who I'm talking about. Brad just mentioned him. Wink, wink. If you're struggling and you can't shoot an open shot or even attempt to shoot it, you can't be on the court. It is, you got to be that guy. If you want to be that guy, you have to be able to feel confident enough. If you miss 5 shots, my mentality is the next one's going to go in. That's what shooters do. You can't be a shooter this week and next week you're not.
Yeah.
So the
exactly.
The other question I had is, and it goes back to that freshman and Coleman Hawkins lineup. There were cracks in the armor, and I just thought that the guy, I don't know if they were getting tired or what, but as a coach, I've had times when I felt like, you know what, I switched a couple guys. I got a guy in a minute or two too late, and that might cost us, you know, 6 points. And then I feel really bad that maybe I contributed, you know, towards the end result more than I'd like to. I felt like that lineup, Underwood was slow to react a little bit. And then they, as Brad explained earlier, you know, they tore off that 9-point run. And I just felt like that one might have been a little bit avoidable by bringing in the old guys under the thing of, okay, a bunch of freshmen just went on a run here. I need you guys to go continue this and show that you're the leaders of the team. Am I crazy, Brad?
Not at all. And let me tell you, the other part of that is the fact that he had to call use those timeouts to stem tides and bring up effort. Now he can't call a timeout to put those guys in that situation offensively when you want to do that. And those are the kind of things that people don't realize. Like, well, you got to say, you got to do this, should call timeout, should. But that was a prime example. Those guys are playing. You can't play. And I don't care. People don't understand it because most people haven't played college basketball. They say, well, in high school, I played the whole game. Well, that's great. It's not the same game. One, the court's 10 feet farther. Two, the athletes are getting bumped and hit, and it's just a different level of intensity. So, and it's a 40-minute game. You yep. can't expect guys to give the energy that they were expending defensively and running up down the court, being active and getting hands and all those things. You can only do that for a few minutes. And then you got to get a break. You're not going to be 100%. And that's where you see them start making a defensive breakdown, a mental mistake, taking a bad shot, all those things happen. It's because you're tired. And so you're exactly right, Mike. By putting in the older guys in that situation would have been good. I thought after they gave up the three on the sideline out of bounds, I thought that's when he should have made the change.
Yep.
But, you know, at the same time, sometimes you're running with guys, and you're thinking, well, these guys at least give me effort.
Right.
You know,
right. Yep.
So, the other guy, I just really thought I don't see the emotion, the energy, and so forth. I thought they were a little, you know, didn't have that. So then maybe you don't want to go to the old guys. But at the same time, those are the guys that can score. You know, mostly. I mean, you know, we know that Shannon can score. We know that, you know, Meyer can score. We know that, you know, RJ can score because they've done it. Right, they've done it against high level competition. So, you know, that's kind of I guess that's the next step is figuring out. I think he's still trying to figure out his team, though, don't you? I think he's trying to figure out what he has and who plays well, who's here, who's there. I think it's still learning. They're all learning, and we said that before the season.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of people, because they've had some success with UCLA and play well against Virginia, you know, and obviously, you know, the big Texas win. This is a work in progress. And, you know, when we went into the season, we all talked about, you know, them learning, you know, and then they want to be better later. And if that's what it's going to take, then I'm okay with that. Because at the end of the day, if this was the NCAA tournament, the season's over. But it's not. So now they have to try to understand. And for the people out there, I'm not saying that every coach makes every – what, you know, they make all the right calls. You know, they don't. But for the people out there who want to see Dane Danger play 35 minutes a game, like Kendrick explained this to you, his conditioning isn't the best. And should it be? Probably, but I know they work on it. Okay? He is not a guy you can switch with on the perimeter all the time, depending upon matchups. I think he has good footwork, but he can't do that. And he's a liability at the end of the game. So if you take in all the considerations, you're getting what you're going to get out of him. And when he's in the game, yes, he's serviceable. There was a lob pass today that I saw Terrence Shannon threw to him. He didn't even jump because he was tired.
Yeah.
I don't know from what, but he didn't go after it. Those are things that you guys have to understand and look at it, because I know for a fact they tried to make adjustments at halftime. I'm sitting at press row. I was upset with the picket situation, and I thought, here's the deal. I watched Pickett try to score on Coleman Hawkins in the first half. He passed it out. I watched him try to do it on Matthew Meyer, and he passed it out. Illinois tried to do that, but some of the younger guards kept switching, and then they were screwed again. That's going to come with time. I mean, it's not panic time. I'm sorry. It, you know, it's not. Because if Illinois goes and they beat Purdue, this loss people are going to forget about. I'm really sorry, even though they play Purdue at the end of the year. Now it's time to step up and put your big boy pants on. But I really, really want to see some guys just get after it. There were guys shooting the basketball today, just shooting it to be shooting it, because they were throwing it off the backboard. I'm like, there's no form. They were just chucking up shots. That is a scared mentality to me. Not because of Underwood, because I'm going to tell you, he lets you shoot the ball. He's a player's coach. He typically doesn't say anything. They just laid an egg today. There's nothing else you can say about it.
Yeah, one last question for you guys. You know, I come from a generation where you rarely switch. The modern basketball is very much if you can have five players where you can switch every pick, you almost, you know, defang the offense, so to speak. To me, there have been a couple games now where teams have been very, very, very smart about who picks whom so that they can set up matchups of a guard, you know, guarding somebody that they may have a disadvantage on. And I thought Brad's point about, Pickett struggling a little bit against Hawkins and Meyer, I thought that Penn State, you know, very shrewdly decided we're going to run certain guys, to get so that when we get the switch, that Pickett will get a smaller man that he can take down in the paint. And for you fans who really remember it, you know, this is where you would see things like the Cavaliers, you know, back when they beat Golden State, you know, LeBron would go pick Curry so that, you know, if they did a switch, he could take Curry down the lane. And so to me, there were a couple times I would have liked to have seen that communication that Ked talked about, where maybe because of effectiveness, Hawkins or Meyer wouldn't switch, but they would stay with him. Brad, is that something they're working on in practice? And it's just, you know, we're looking at more inexperienced players and players who aren't used to playing with one another. Or am I just hallucinating on that one?
Well, I think I agree with your point. I think they work on different at ways to defend screens because, you know, they down ball screens when Dane is in there usually. Although Dane did get, I will say this, Dane got switched on Pickett at least twice.
Yes.
And he did a really good job on it because Pickett's not a shooter.
He did.
But he's not backing Dane down.
Yep, so, exactly. Know, not, exactly.
You know, he's not going to do that. I almost thought I should have put him on there and then just said, okay, you shoot it. We won't let you shoot it for the perimeter. But I agree with what you're saying. Here's the other part about this. If you want to win and you want to be good at it, the biggest thing they struggled early with wasn't necessarily everybody, you know, we focus on Pickett and what he did. But, you know, the worst part was getting beat on back cuts, getting beat on handoffs, you know, lack of communication on those things. The really simple actions that shouldn't be, and they gave up layups, driving right down a lane. And those are the plays, like, they're probably 10 points right there in just, like, complete miscommunication on ghost screen, slip screens, and things like that. Illinois practice, and I'm telling you, Illinois knows what the other team's going to do, and they practice it.
Yeah.
But now you got to execute it. So if they're going to execute it, though, I think you have to put your guys in these positions now so that they learn and that they're better at the end of the year. I'll be honest with you, I thought Sky Clark and Jaden Epps guard Jalen Pickett better when they play them again? I think they will. You know, I don't think Illinois is going to leave them there. I also thought, and this is a weird thing that goes, you know, everybody, you know, yeah, they didn't want Pickett to distribute, but Illinois came and helped a lot on Pickett, but he was too deep and they were a little too late.
Right.
In the first half. And so what happens is the guard's got to do a better job, and they'll get better at that. Epps and Clark are going to get better at that because they're going to work on it. And then I think the help coming over, and I noticed it was a couple times, once Colin Hawkins, once Ty Rogers, where they got the layup over them to go, but it was like he almost had the block. And I think they're learning what they can and can't do as they go. And you know, the purpose of switching is to prevent what? Well, why do you switch? Well, you don't want to give up a bunch of threes, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, he still gave up a bunch of threes.
Yeah,
so it
yeah.
wasn't effective today. I mean, so this was the first time where I really thought it was not effective in any way, shape, or form.
Well, Mike, you asked about if Underwood worked on it. He told us in the press conference what was going to happen. You knew they were going to spread the ball around. He didn't care if Pickett scored 40. He just didn't want other guys to beat them. I mean, he almost had a triple-double against them. I think it was, I don't know, seven assists and eight rebounds or something like that. That's what he didn't want to have happen. So they knew what was going to be coming, and I knew they worked on it. So for the fans who think that they didn't come into this game and that they don't scout, all the Big Ten coaches scout. They all do their jobs. They know what's coming. The players have to execute it. But he also said Penn State runs a lot of action, and it's tough for anybody to defend all of it. On the flip side, Penn State shot the ball well. And sometimes they were contested, sometimes they weren't. You couldn't foul them because they didn't miss. They shot over 57% from three, 55%, I think, from two-point, and 80% from the free throw line. They had an out-of-body experience today, and they played well. And I said it earlier, they would have beat a lot of teams today. Illinois didn't help their cause. I understand that. But they would have beat a lot of teams today.
Yeah, and just to go back to one thing, Ty Rogers, he was there, like Brad said, he was there literally a – half second late. He still contested the layup, but couldn't get the block. There was another possession where he got there in time and actually forced the ball to go back out because he helped. You know, so there were a few things. So I'm going to give you the homer statement of the day, and you guys, you know, give me your response to this. We knew that Illinois was a team that hadn't had a lot of pieces that had played with one another, and really doesn't have an alpha dog from past years to rely on. And we also knew that there would be some losses, you know, in December and November that maybe surprised us. I'm not certain anybody other than Ked had Penn State circled. But my, you know, ultimate feeling on this is we knew they were going to lose. We knew they're not invulnerable. And so this game is more important for what coaching they get afterwards and how they incorporate that coaching into their play. It's much more important than what this L is. And this is just one game, and it's time for them to work on getting better and move on. Now, am I too homer in that, Brad? Am I just pie in the sky, or what do you think?
No, you're right. We said for the season, the team's going to have growing pains. I think they're just – they arrived at Texas ahead of – they arrived by beating Texas ahead of schedule. I mean, we looked at this – think about preseason. You looked at this non-conference schedule, UCLA with, you know, at Maryland and Texas at Madison Square Garden. You thought, gosh, they could lose all those games.
Yeah.
and so would you trade – I think the Texas win – outweighs this home loss, even though it's just because it was a national stage and people noticed. And I think Texas is going to be really good this year, so I think that's really key. But that said, I think this team will get better. I think they're going to get better. They're going to add pieces. When Luke Goody and, you know, probably adding a piece here at the semester as well. So they've got a couple of guys coming in. They're going to have, that's going to make practices better. The depth is going to be better, and they're going to have another shooter. In Goody, who can really stretch the floor, and I think that's important, and also his leadership. So yeah, I'm not. There's definitely not a panic button. I'm never okay with a loss, but I do think that now they just have work to do. You got to win some road games that maybe you didn't think you were going to win. And this is it's interesting. This is the Big Ten, and what we've seen is there's been four games I would say where I thought they were possession games, where they came down to the wire, they had to make plays at the end. The pace was slower than maybe they like it. And I thought that was, you know, Virginia, Maryland, and Texas, and Penn State, those four games. They're 1-3 in those games. So this is a team that might be built a little better for the NCAA tournament, quick turnaround, play athletic, get up and down, than maybe to the grind of a Big Ten season. And so you may see some losses you shouldn't have, but then it also probably wins the game they should win. So, yeah, it's all good.
Well, for me, it's not, like I said earlier, there's no time to panic. You know, you got to learn from this. And now you're really going to see the coaching and how good Brad Underwood is as a coach, because I guarantee it that he will make adjustments. There will be changes made. I don't know what those are. He told us that today in the press conference, you know. And again, this team, they don't have that big dominant guy that they used to have. And I mean, yes, it was great to have Kofi to get that 20 and 10 every night, but I like this new look. But what I don't like is guys looking around for other guys to step up and make plays, because you do have some older guys out there. Colin Hawkins has been around for a while. Terrence Shannon's been around for a while. Matthew Meyer's been around for a while. So there's no reason for them to be looking over the shoulder hoping somebody can bail them out. That has to be taken care of. And the communication, all the things that, if you people listen to the press conferences, sometimes I know they think it's smoking and mirrors. Sometimes coaches just really giving out facts. And he told people before the game what to expect. I watched Michigan State and I watched Penn State play the other night. And I was concerned because I really thought Penn State just went cold. Well, if they go cold today, Illinois wins. But today they didn't. Funk shot four times against Michigan State. Today he launched off 11. And he made some tough, unbelievable shots when people had it. They had a hand in their face. So I said this earlier. People didn't complain when Illinois was, when Terrence Shannon had an out-of-body experience when they played against UCLA. You don't think the UCLA fans were mad about that? That happens. It's college sports. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen again. Somebody from Illinois is going to be outstanding. And Illinois is going to play a team again who's going to be really good. And they're going to make Illinois pay for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, I had some I started having concerns about this game after watching basically Penn State miss layups down the stretch that cost them the game against Michigan State. And I thought, man, they're going to come in here a little angry. And meanwhile, Illinois came off of a fantastic victory over Texas, and then we have the history of Penn State playing Illinois tough. You know, Penn State kind of plays Illinois in basketball the way Illinois plays Ohio State in football. You know, it's just one of those matchups. As we wrap this up, Brad, what are your final thoughts for our fans to think of? Of course, you can also get a lot more of Ked and Brad's thoughts if you're subscribers to IlliniGuys.com. You go to IlliniGuys.com, you subscribe, $99 a year. You might even be able to get the free sweatshirt. That deal's coming off here in the next 24 hours. But certainly you can go back in to get all the articles, but then in the message boards, Ked and Brad will talk about things. People will ask them questions. It's much more interactive than picking up your newspaper or turning on and listen to ESPN when Stephen A. Smith is screaming about something. On our message boards, you can actually go back and forth with people like Brad and Ked. And so when we talk about this, we talk on the Eye on the Illini, we talk about things, but it goes into a lot more detail on the IlliniGuys.com. So please go there, look at registering. And if you have an Illini fan, I really have gone kind of mentally checked through in my mind all the things that I could give an Illini fan that would prove that how much I cared for him. And I'd have to put the Illini Guys subscription. We're only behind getting actual basketball or football seats given to you. So we'd be about third on that list. So that's pretty impressive. Brad, what are your final thoughts here for folks as we get ready to wrap up this podcast?
It's a long season. Just got to, you know, still have to bounce back. I think, you know, there's a lot of questions that they need to answer. I think one thing that happens is a lot of times you win, you know, LA didn't play, you know, didn't have a great game in the first half of the trails, they came back to half, kind of had a positive thing, and so they kind of felt good going into Texas, they play, they get the win, but there were still stretches, so they won that game despite the kind of some of the bad stretches. Now, today, they lose. I mean, they're going to watch film, they're going to see the lack of effort, they're going to learn from it, and yeah, they're going to be fine against Alabama and A&M and Bethune-Cookman. But they have got to bring it against Missouri, and then they've got to bring it in every Big Ten game the rest of the year. And that's what they need to learn from this, is that you have to bring it every day in the Big Ten. There aren't any easy outs.
Ed?
I don't think it's – one thing I want to say, don't panic. It's a long season. It's a lot of season left. Don't, you know, let it ruin your day. You don't want to get on Twitter, go to Line Eye Guys and to read the information. It is going to be okay. This loss has happened. I don't think there's going to be a team undefeated all season. There's going to be teams get beat at home and away. Good teams find a way to fix their flaws. And I have been around this staff. I've been to practices enough to know that they're going to correct these mistakes. And if you – I'll tell anybody, this is one press conference you should really listen to, because he made it really clear that this won't be happening again. It was communication. It was leadership. But long-term, it's going to be a long week because you don't play. There's finals going to be coming up. So the kids have to focus on finals. So, you know, get through these next 7 days and, you know, you'll probably blow out the next opponent. And then, but Brad's right. You're going into the Missouri game. That's the game where you have a chance to, I guess, brush your sleeve off and get the fans back and believing in you again, because that's going to be a long week, like I said. But the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Just get back at it. They are a good team. I put it like this. It could be worse. It could have been like it was about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's not.
Yeah, and the could have been worse is always a good way to wrap things up. And quoting, you know, the musical Annie is also great too. As we look at things, folks, just so you know, Ked was down at the game live himself, so both Ked and Brad were there covering the game. Sometimes, depending on the seating, Ked obviously works for the Quad City Times, so you'll see him and Brad, depending on seating arrangements, behind the scorer's table. So occasionally, if they focus on a replay or something like that, you can see their smiling faces right behind it, and it can sometimes cause you to have to adjust your TV. But
Mike, we were not smiling today, just so you know.
Yeah, exactly. There was no,
reason to.
You could see two grumpy old men back there. That would also be Brad, depending on what you see. But, and so when people talk about the media, it's kind of interesting. So Ked has to drive, you know, approximately 3 hours just to get to the game, and then, you know, gets all of his reporting done, and then gets in the car, does this podcast, and gets to drive 3 hours back to the Quad Cities. Of course, Brad goes back to his personal castle. I think he had a castle that he bought in Scotland that he had moved to central Illinois. So he's heading back there with his security detail. And we will see. But it definitely – there's definitely a lot of –
here. It's good to have a driver, you know, my chauffeur here.
A driver, and they even took you through a drive up today, so then you were well fed. So what a
they did. I appreciate that. Little slim chickens for the ride home is always
yeah, good. Yep. It's interesting, you know, if you're in the media, it's a lot of work, you know, for Ked and Brad. They're there way before the game starts, they're there after the game ends. They get to do podcasts, write stories. So sometimes these games like this are particularly painful because you have to go down and watch the game again, you know, from a video standpoint, and then go through the stat sheets. And it doesn't get any better. A bad performance doesn't get any better as you look at it time and time again. So just things that you learn about when you see people in the media is there. Maybe sometimes they get a little crotchety. That's why. Of course, they also have their own podcast you can be looking for and can subscribe to. So subscribe to Eye on the Illini, also Sturdy for 30, and also Ked's Recruiting Roundup. And of course, football signing day gets closer and the transfer portal for both, you know, football and basketball heat up, it is going to be crazy. So that's the best time to have a subscription to Illini Guys. And we also have our radio show, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, that is across the state of Illinois on 30 stations. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and take a look at all the stations across the state. Find the one that's closest to you, what day, either a Friday or a Saturday, and what time to listen to that two-hour show. And all we ask you to do is email or call the station and thank them for having us on the air. With that, this is Mike Kegley, and I am signing off for Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. The Illini will be playing again, and they will be playing next week, and that will be against – got to make sure I get the right critter. That will be against Alabama A&M next Saturday at 3 p.m., and it will be on the Big Ten Network. And we will, of course, have podcasts before then, but if not, we will definitely hear you next week after the game. And, of course, we will have stories and coverage going up to the game, along with all the things that are going on with recruiting. IlliniGuys.com, there's always a story and there's always things going on. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com is where you want to be to keep you in the know on all things Illini. Go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.